It is only a matter of months until the 20th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement, and as yet we don't know if there will be a functioning executive and assembly, with Stormont stuck in limbo for more than a year. On the programme now, one of the architects of the Good Friday Agreement, the former Taoiseach Bertie Ahern. Good morning to you, Bertie.
Good morning to you. How are you keeping?
I'm not bad, thank you very much. How does it feel as one of the key figures in the Good Friday Agreement to see the current situation in Northern Ireland as it is, without power sharing for more than a year now?
It's upsetting, and I do feel it's unnecessary. But I suppose that, you know, you have to be a realist in this world, and you have to keep on thinking going forward. And I suppose, you know, I was reflecting a lot over Christmas, because there's a lot of events coming up and a lot of it is speaking engagement. Obviously, a new generation who don't remember much about 20 years ago, not to mind 30 or 40 years ago. And when you look at all the changes of personnel, I mean, Theresa May and Leo Varadkar, the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Simon Coveney, the new Secretary of State of last week, Adams and McGuinness, poor Martin Gunn, and Gerry stepping down, Arlene in place. So there's a whole new a group of people. And I think the challenge for them is not to be prisoners of the past, not to find themselves tied to the past. But, you know, we're fast heading to the decade of 2020. And to see what their objective is for a continually peaceful, stable, but futuristic Northern Ireland. I think it's for them to take on the work that we did all those years ago and to build a new agenda. And, you know, that means that they must compromise. Politics is the art of the possible. It is the art of compromise.
Yes, it's all easier said than done, though, of course. When it comes to that...
It isn't actually, in my view, easier said than done. I think all these things, you know, I've negotiated a European constitution. I did 5 economic programmes. You know, I have 20 years at a cabinet table.
Okay.
It is about people, you know, sitting down and seeing, do they want status quo? Are they happy to leave the past, you know, recreate itself? Or are they prepared to roll up their sleeves and get on with
okay,
it?
Okay, well, given that the
easy said is you get on with it.
And the 5 parties that have been invited into these talks, what is your message to Sinn Féin and the DUP? Because regardless of the addition of the extra 3, the focus will be on them. So what do you say to them the day after they've been invited to join these talks next week?
Well, I think what I would say to them is that they should look at what are the key items that they want to see achieved in these negotiations, and to look at where their bottom lines are, but to look imaginatively and objectively at where the compromises are. It is not tenable in a democratic society to have your entire institutions not unworkable or ungovernable, but not in existence at all for a period of a year. You know, people want politicians elected and paid to work on education, on health, on security, on environmental issues, the challenges of today. And, you know, Northern Ireland is in a good place for investment, for tourism, and it needs political leadership to take that forward. And I think there's an obligation on them to, you know, look at what their bottom lines are, but then to try and compromise together and move on. They owe that to themselves first and to their political parties, but more so to the people of Northern Ireland.
There's disagreement, of course, over things like legacy and Irish language. Is it your understanding that this was all part of the agreement? Because, of course, Sinn Féin say that they want the implementation of previous agreements and a standalone Irish Language Act, whereas the DUP say Irish language wasn't agreed. So what's your understanding of how that was?
Well, I think 20 years ago, the whole issue was about equality, that we would have equality. But like all these things had to be negotiated. I don't think if we look at anything written in stone and say, listen, we can't carry each other with it. I mean, the whole system was based because it was a divided society, divided past, and that it was was based on people working together to find solutions. That was the idea of the First Minister, Deputy First Minister. It wasn't Taoiseach Tánaiste role. It wasn't Prime Minister, Deputy Prime Minister role. It was two people working together to find practical solutions to move forward. And, you know, I know one person's equality is another person's torment, but I think that you have to try... to crack the nuts and sit down and agree with them. I think going back to what was in the small print in 1998 is not what people should be doing. They should be
surely, though, Bertie Ahern, when it comes to an agreement, you agree, you come to terms. It's like the talks that will kick off next week if they do go ahead. You come to an agreement, and the small print then surely is what is really important. And then when you have a major party here like the DUP last year saying, well, look, when it comes to Irish language, we didn't totally sign up to the agreement as stands in terms of that. So just your understanding, you were one of the main people involved at the time. Is this something that they really have already signed up to?
Well, I think the, in 1998, there was an understanding that we would move on, that the Irish language would play a key role. But we never anywhere prescriptively wrote out in 1998 what that was going to be. And I don't think it happened in any of the subsequent agreements either. That's why I think they've spent a lot of this year talking about it. But what was agreed was that people's identity. I had the debate about Ulster Scots with David Trimble. I agreed that we would totally promote Ulster Scots if that was what they wanted. Providing the Irish language was also to treat it in a way that we could develop it and roll it. It wasn't agreed, but that we would start putting Irish languages sides down the shankill. Sometimes I hear the debates about that all these things just have to be railed through as they were written. So I think that's where people have to work out.
Okay.
Of course, the Irish language should be treated with equality. And Ulster Scots too, if that is important to the unionist people, which it was to some of them back 20 years ago. So I think really we have to go forward. If we keep going back and saying this is what happened, the same with the legacy of the past, of course these are important things, but people have to look at it going forward, not going backwards.
What concerns would you have if Northern Ireland did return to direct rule, if talks fail, because obviously there may not be a choice at some point later this year?
Well, I don't think the Irish government will accept that. I mean, I think all the time, from the mid-80s and 1998, the Good Friday Agreement, there is a role for the Dublin government. So I think the idea, Northern Ireland at the moment, there's 9 civil servants running it, which I'm sure they're doing their very best, but it's not the ideal way in a democracy. But I think direct rule, as people see it in the past, is not going to be tenable. And I think the Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar, has made that very clear.
It's difficult to know then what the next step is if our politicians here, if those 5 main parties or 2, whatever way you want to look at it, cannot reach agreement, then what happens next?
Well, that's what I don't want to. I have ideas about what should happen, but I think it is far more important listen, they're all good people. They're all being elected. I think they understand the basis of what the Good Friday Agreement, they understand that the settlement was, and they have to face this reality. The Good Friday Agreement was based on, as I used to say, the 3 legs of the stool. It was the internal situation in Northern Ireland. It was the North-South ministerial body dealing with the Dublin government, and it was East-West between Dublin. The reality is, with Brexit, that relationship had a poor year last year. The North-South hasn't worked for a year. The internal position isn't working at all. It's been run by a group of civil servants who I'm sure they're doing their best. I mean, is there any politician in their right mind, not to mind in any other mind, that can see that as being a sustainable position? It's not sustainable for politicians. It's not sustainable for the people. And it's not fair on the people.
Exactly, which is why I'm intrigued to hear what you think might have to happen, because obviously there will be some kind of contingency plan or plans.
That would have to be worked. No, what would have to happen is that the Theresa May's government and Leo Varadkar's government would have to find a new way forward, because I think the simple old way of direct rule, and you remember when Minister, as he was then, Mandelson, brought down the institutions, we objected strongly, and there was an understanding that that would not happen again.
So basically what you're saying is, for example, the Irish government being like a co-guarantor in terms of what happens here, so kind of like sub-government between Westminster and Dublin looking after what happens here, because obviously there'll be a lot of our politicians that will say, never, that is not something we would ever be happy with, which brings us back to that point of, well, what do we do if the talks don't work and you know, where's next?
Well, I never went in all my life, and as I say, I was Minister of Labour with unions and in Europe for years. I never went into negotiations or into the Good Friday Agreement saying what will happen is if it fails. You have to, you know, I mean, that's like you coming into work this morning saying, what will I happen if the electricity goes and you're off?
But there is a contingency plan here. That's my point, Bertie Ahern. If the electric goes off, there is a plan here in place. We don't wait until it goes off and then think, well, what do we do?
Well, there is contingency plans as well. I mean, the contingency plan is that the two governments have to deal with, but that's a negative. And I plead to think positively. Think of the power of good politicians working hard.
Ah, come on now. With all due respect, we're here a year later, Mr. Ahern. You're very well informed in matters here and in the South, and you're an experienced politician. And looking at, and maybe we are being slightly cynical from our point of view because of the year we have had in politics here. So with that in mind, it's why I'm asking what happens next, because there is a very plausible chance that the talks will not work.
Yeah, but if you take that mindset, this is my point. I'm not disagreeing that that could happen.
Okay.
But the mindset, it should be, to make this workable, for the parties to go into this round of talks and do their level best before the anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement to get the institutions up and running. If that fails again, I think then the East-West situation has to click in and the Dublin and London government have to sit down and work a way forward, as I've had to do a few times when the institutions collapsed previously.
Well, what is your take, just finally, on DUP MP Sammy Wilson calling one of your successor, Leo Varadkar, a nutcase yesterday? Now, he did later say he regretted it, but just language is always so important in politics. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, I think when people apologise, I mean, the amount of things have been said about me in my life, I take the view that when people apologise, I move on.
Bertie Ahern, thank you very much for your time. We'll talk.
You mind yourself. Thank you.
Thank you.